Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is before us today is from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 14, the parable of the marriage or wedding feast. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him head, hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Your fellow redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of confusion, always has been, about who is saved and who is not. Over 50 years ago, the Second Vatican Council of the Roman Catholic Church declared that as long as one does good, in fact, everyone who does good in his life, whether he rejects Christ or not, will be saved. And recent popes have agreed. And so have the Unitarian Universalist Church since the 1960s. And so have millions of others who like to think of themselves as non-judgmental. We don't judge anyone. We're very proud of that. And so they can't imagine that God would not just save everyone as long as they try their best. On the other hand, there are still many people in the world today, I think because of this confusion in part, who believe that they are so bad there is no way they can be saved. And some Christian churches even teach that only a few are saved for heaven because God only wanted to save a few. Now, all of this is wrong. The truth is expressed in this parable of our Lord. Are there few who will be saved? Important question. We are told that the king in the parable arranged a marriage for his son. That's what God did when he sent to the Jews the prophets. God had promised to send his beloved son to the nation of Israel. And the Old Testament prophets, Moses and Isaiah and Hosea and all the rest, they went out and they invited the Jews. And they gave them life-giving food, and they promised them a banquet in heaven. Eternal life before God through this promised Savior. But then when Jesus came, remember John the Baptizer went out, his cousin, a few months before him, and proclaimed that the kingdom was near. And what happened? Jesus, the Savior, had come. And John called the Jews to the wedding feast, but they were not willing to come. The Lord of heaven came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him, as John tells us in the 11th verse of that first chapter of his gospel. His own did not receive him. It's the same sad story when children who are brought up in Christian families, they hear the invitation from our Lord Jesus of forgiveness and grace and life and all the blessings of a future and glory. And then they cast them away, and when they grow up and they hear the invitation over and over, but they say, it's not for me. But notice in the parable, neither the king nor God, who the king is represented here, representing, neither gave up. Other servants were sent out with an even stronger appeal. See, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding. Notice the emphasis here by this king in the parable. Everything's done. I'm not asking you to bring an entree to a potluck meal. Everything is finished. It's all ready for you. All you have to do is sit down and fill yourself. God sent out his apostles. He sent out the 70. Later he sent out Stephen and Philip and the apostle Paul and others of his servants. And with great power and sincerity, they announced to the Jews that all things had been finished for their salvation. There wasn't anything left that they had to do. Christ had conquered the power of sin, death, and hell, even as it had been promised of him. It was all finished. But the Jewish nation made light of the gospel invitation to believe in Jesus. And how did they make light of it? Well, Jesus tells us. Well, they went their ways. They went their way. You make light of something when you go your way. We say, well, that's nice. I heard that. Now I've got something else to do. They went out to their farms. They went to their businesses. It wasn't that important to them. They went their way. They made light of it. Even some of who were violent seized the Lord's servants and mistreated and killed them. Why do people react this way? When this wonderful invitation to a heavenly meal is given to them, free of charge, why do they... It's simple. People don't want to hear that they need a Savior. That in spite of everything that they do that they think is good and the world tells them is good, isn't enough. They don't want to be told that they're still in their sins. Especially this time of the year, it's interesting. It's the season, I guess. A wonderful season to preach law and gospel, sin and grace. But it's also a season where people delight in doing good. At least outwardly. And it's a very difficult thing, I suspect, for anyone this time of the year to hear if you were to address them and you had concerns about their soul and you said to them, you know, you're doing a lot of good things. That's all very wonderful. But even what you do is like a filthy rag before the holiness of God. Everything we do is tainted with sin. You have no salvation in what you do. You cannot please God without faith in Jesus Christ. So where do you stand with this Jesus who has come to us? That's the real issue. Throughout history, those who continue to reject the invitation and the call of Christ's gospel to sit down and freely partake of everything he's done for us, those who refuse that invitation hate those who keep on proclaiming it. That's why persecution prevails all over the world to those who preach the gospel clearly after the law is preached clearly. Well, those who oppose God's servants oppose God himself. When the Jewish nation began to mistreat and torture and kill God's servants, God became like the king in the parable. He was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murders, and burned up their city. That happened in 70 AD when, because of God's divine judgment, the Romans came upon Jerusalem and the environs and destroyed and burned up the city. Are there few who will be saved? Absolutely, yes, there are few who will be saved. But let's be clear. There are few who will be saved not because God has not prepared salvation as a free gift. There are few who will be saved, but it's not because God has not been serious and zealous in his calling through the gospel through the centuries. None of this can be laid to the feet of our God as if he's to blame. Toward the end of Jesus' ministry, he wept over the Jewish nation because of their unwillingness to believe the good news that was brought to them. Few were saved among the Jewish people, even though they were the first to be invited to the feast, as you heard in the scripture lesson earlier. In verse 8, we are told they were not worthy. They were not worthy because they did not see their need for the grace and forgiveness that was freely offered in their Savior. Now, according to the parable, the servants are ordered by the king to go down the highways. That's the main routes of travel. And the servants are commanded to invite as many as they can find for the wedding. Everything is ready, and the king wants to fill his house with guests. It isn't that he's afraid that the food's going to go to waste. There's nothing like that. He really wants people to enjoy what he has prepared. And so he sends out his servants to invite strangers to join him. Ever since the apostles were commanded, and it's recorded in Acts 13, to go out with the gospel to the Gentiles, it's been worldwide for nearly 2,000 years. The servants of Christ have gone all over the world, to the highways of the world. They've gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. There's a reason it says both bad and good here, because the Holy Spirit's taking into account, and so is Jesus when he says this. The world designates people. There are bad people and there are good people. And you know, we only want the good people in the church. They're the bad people. We don't want them. The people that can't give. The people that are poor. The people who got so many problems that we know about. We don't want them here. They're beneath us. That's the way the world thinks. We don't make those distinctions in the church. If we're the true servants of Christ, we go out and we proclaim the gospel for all people. Because for all people, Christ gave himself. Now we are told that at last the wedding hall was filled with guests. Filled with guests. And so today, the outward Christian church is filled with millions of people. And so some are inclined to ask, well, what can it possibly mean that few are saved then? There are millions of people in the Christian church. How can only few be saved? Well, it's because of hypocrisy to some extent in the outward church. We read that when the king came in to see the guests in the parable, he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. The king immediately said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" Well, how did he? Well, the people who were standing out there receiving the guests, they can't tell. Apparently, according to this parable, they missed it. We miss hypocrisy. It isn't always so evident to our eyes. What looks good to us, what looks good to the world, may indeed be hypocrisy. The undressed man here represents those in the churches who want to sit down at the feast of salvation without the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness. The putting on of this wedding garment, what is that? That's nothing but true Spirit worked repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. It's like saying, I'm not going out into the world naked. I'm going into my closet and I'm going to put on the very best that's been given to me. And that's what Christ has given us. Hypocrites have all kinds of reasons for belonging to Christian congregations. I've even met some who've been bold enough to tell me why they were members. One man told me years ago it was because of contracts that he could get in the church. Didn't bat an eyelash, didn't blush. But the method of the hypocrite of gaining salvation doesn't agree with God's method. Since they prefer their own self-righteous rags to the robes of Christ, their life, no matter how good it appears to the world, is nothing else but a continuous rejection of the free grace, the banquet that our God offers through the servants, those who proclaim the gospel. Let's be clear, I'm going to say this right now. You're all servants who proclaim the gospel. This parable isn't just talking about pastors and missionaries. Those who stand spiritually naked before the great King of salvation at the wedding feast, whether they're churchgoers or not, will be speechless when faced on that day. They won't have any defense because their hearts will have been seen by God who sees all. In the end, all hypocrites will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So finally, are there few who will be saved? Yes. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Jesus says. Many are called, but few are chosen. These last words of this parable are an axiom. That means a statement that is always true. It stands. It applies for all time. God our Savior would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. And so the gracious invitation of the gospel of forgiveness is preached everywhere, and all are invited into this wedding feast of salvation in Christ, but the great majority are not interested. In their own eyes, they are too good for a Savior. They are too busy to be bothered with the word and with the receiving of the sacrament. It's not important to them. They've got all kinds of other things to do. They simply hide out in the churches, in effect, until the day of judgment. Meanwhile, the gracious God of heaven keeps on sending out the invitation through the servants, through you. And the invitation is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Come, I've prepared your eternal salvation from sin by the life, suffering, and death of my own beloved Son. There's nothing that you have to do. It's all finished. Only believe me when I tell you, and you shall live. And the few who come and continue unto death to receive the covering of grace and forgiveness through faith, these are the chosen few. May we be among them by the grace of God. But more than that, may He grant us more. This is not a time for Christ's servants, all of you, to be standing around with your hands in your pockets, mourning and saddened and disenchanted with the gospel, shaking your heads because of those who reject the invitation that we bring. We should never feel that way about the message of the angels that we are privileged to bring to the world. Free life, free grace, freedom from sin, death, and hell. Nothing to be ashamed of in the message. And if others reject that message, we should not be dejected. The command to go out and invite to the wedding as many as we can find in our neighborhoods and the world, it still applies to us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't apply to us any less today than it did to the early church. Our Lord is still saying to you and me, I have chosen you to be finally saved. I have chosen few to be saved. But that's my business. It's my business to choose whom I will have mercy on. That's not your business. You don't concern yourself about whom I've chosen. Your business is something else. It's your business to go out there and call and invite. That's your business. Do it until I come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety. In Jesus, your Savior. Amen.